On today's episode of the Brado and Will Show, we're going to be doing the Rockets Season Awards. We have a fun list ahead. We have a good guest as well to talk about this topic. So stay tuned for this episode. You're not going to want to miss it. All right, and welcome back to the episode of the Brado and Will Show. Y'all heard Brad in the intro. Today, we're going to be going over some of the season awards for the 2023-2024 Houston Rockets. Before we jump into that, though, we have special guests on the show with us today. I got to give my guy Zeta. I think this is, what, your third time on the show now?
Yeah, probably about the third time, yeah.
Which, next to Kelly Eco, might be the most, I think. So, yeah, welcome. Welcome back to the show again for the third time now, Zeta. I would say let the people know where they can find you, but that's a little interesting right now. But you know, so I'll let you do whatever you want to do for that section.
Yeah, my name is J Dub. Normally on Twitter, I'm at the mind of J Dub. I'll probably be back on when the season starts, or maybe the draft time. So it's at the mind of J Dub on all social media platforms. Just taking a little break right now to handle some business. But yeah, follow me back on that. And again, when the season comes around, I'm on the Houston Live Room streams with Brad, Will, and Vader.
There we go. So, like you said, we're going to be going over the, you know, just the awards. And these are just our opinions. So, you know, please take them with that one. This is just our opinion. But I don't know. I feel like we might end up agreeing on a lot of things and possibly we probably won't agree on. But obviously, the biggest, most important award is the MVP of the Rockets season. And like I said, you can pick anybody, player, coach. If you want to put somebody from the training staff on the MVP, you could. So I'll let the guests go first for this one. Jada, who do you got as the MVP of the Rockets 2023-2024 NBA season?
It's actually funny because this is now a complex question. If you would have asked this about 25 games ago, it's an easy answer, in my opinion. My finalist at this point would have to come down to Şengün, but obviously was hurt down the stretch. Coach Ime, who I think has probably been the biggest difference maker. And then, believe it or not, maybe on the court is Fred VanVleet, because he has been the point guard that's come in and stabilized the ship. I'm going to go slightly with Ime Udoka over Fred. So obviously, if we were doing a player, I would give it to Fred. But I'm going to go Ime Udoka. He came here. He installed some things into the team. Maybe not like this full deluxe package like people may have wanted to see. But he's the guy who's been the stabilizing force through all the injuries that we've had, guys in and out the lineup. He's found a way to help this team make it with different guys leading the ship. Obviously, Şengün would have been my guy if he would have stayed healthy the whole season, but injuries are a thing, and the Rockets did kind of get hot while he was out. So, yeah, Coach Ime Udoka is my MVP for the Rockets.
Yeah, Doug, I think you put that on the money. You know, player-wise, I'm going Alperen Şengün, of course. You know, in his 63 games, he was putting on a show. He really, you know, led Houston, you know, throughout the entire season. You know, he was the backpack for the entire team. Of course, then when he went down, I think it's on, of course, players stepped up. Shout out to Jalen Green for stepping up in that time. But it's a lot of coaching that comes with keeping the team together and still excelling. And then over the course of the season, you just look at where the Rockets were last year and now, you know, just to finish 41-41, have the largest win increase in the entire NBA, plus 19. Take a team that was pretty much 29th in defense to top 10 in defense, a team that was last in forcing turnovers to fifth in forcing turnovers, and a team that was last in opponent fast break points, now first in the league in opponent fast break points. And there's many more where that came from. He really changed the identity of this team. We all complained about the Rockets not having an identity before this season, and Udoka has given them a defensive identity in a team that's not going to be a pushover. A lot of these guys, you know, they were kind of getting pushed over early in the year, and that was starting to change towards the end of the season. We see the altercations. Again, just like as a whole, the entire team is just moving different, and it's all a testament to what Ime Udoka has brought to his team. So he's 100% my MVP. None of this happens without him running the show. So shout out to him.
Ime Udoka was on Twitter. I put Ime Udoka and Fred VanVleet is my answer to this question. So y'all already kind of said the Ime side of things. I'm like, so I got co-MVPs. So I'll just talk about what I think, why I think Fred deserves the award. I want to first, Desmond, because I know you were mad, like, how could you say Fred over Şengün? Fred is not a better basketball player than Alperen Şengün. I want to make that clear off rips. Like, Shingun's the better player. But I think in terms of, you know, I think I do have to factor in the injury, of course, but then also just like, what Fred did for this team specifically, right? Like, for as good as Alperen Şengün was this year, Fred was the one who got him the ball a lot of times, right? Fred was the one, like, that was the pick and roll between Alperen Şengün and Fred VanVleet. When we had no other offense to set the turn to, that was the one set that we could consistently say, all right, we can give Fred the ball top of the key, Şengün set this screen, roll, and from there, there's going to be, you know, either it's a pull-up, you know, midi or three from Fred, or he going to hit that pocket pass to Şengün, and Şengün kind of does his magic from there, right? But that requires Fred to shoot in the ball in the first place, you know, off rip. So I think that that was important. I think that the leadership that he showed from the moment we signed him, we saw him in the summer working with Jalen Green, right? He was very active in summer league. I believe he took the whole team out for his birthday this summer. I remember saying something like that. So, like, he was building chemistry with them from the jump. He got them the book. I believe that was in training camp where he got the young guys a book to kind of, I don't even know what the book was about, but apparently it was something to help him prepare for the season. I think he's planning on getting him another book this summer as well. So yeah, he did that. You know, we've seen and we've heard how the players, these like Jalen, Şengün, Amin, these guys have all talked about how they've all had, like, you know, the one-on-one conversations with Fred and how important that has been for them in their development as they go across the season. And then I think that the defensive foundation that Ime Udoka wanted to lay down, I think, is borderline impossible unless you sign Fred VanVleet. Like, I don't think there's any other point guard. And this is coming from someone who wanted James Harden, right? I don't think that you could have had the same defensive foundation that we laid this season if you didn't sign Fred VanVleet, right? That was one area where people were saying Fred was like this great defender. I don't think he's as good defensively as people make him out to be. He is good. He is really good. I think he leads the NBA in, like, they give him blocks. They're really strips, but doesn't he lead the NBA in blocks for point guards or guards?
The stat was we averaged 1.4 steals. Very good. Averaged 0.8 blocks, but his 59 blocks is the most all time for a guard that's 6 foot or under, or just a player in NBA history 6 foot or under. His 59 blocks was the most ever in a season, and it clicked. Yeah, but yeah, those little swipe downs.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, they were crediting him what probably should have been steals, his blocks, but the point is his hands were very active. He was a very active nail defender. I never felt like, oh, this guy is getting, you know, dusted on the perimeter, all that good stuff. So you just factored in, you know, he's the extension of the coach on the court, what he's meant for the guys on the court in the locker room. He was the stabilizing hand when things got out of control. He was the guy who was like, all right, give me the ball, I got this. And then the last thing I'll say that I really, really love that he did, and this is one of the concerns I did have when signing him, is he never at any point in time imposed himself on the team. He only did what was necessary. Right? That's something I've been trying to drive home from the jump, is like, if Jalen and Şengün have it going, he's off ball. He's not trying to get the ball. He's not he doesn't need 15 shots a night. If Jalen and Şengün got it going, he'll take six and they'll be catch and shoot threes, right? Like he'll be fine with that. But then in the games where, like, Jalen's struggling or Shingun's injured or, you know, something's not going the way it is, then you'll see him kind of step up. And, like, that as a leader, I appreciate. Like, we're going to go down with me. So I think it was what game was that the other day where he had, like, 40? Was that against the – we lost that game.
You're talking about
– Yeah, we did.
It was some game, the last game. He sold in the fourth, but it was because
He had a great game, and then in the fourth quarter, he kind of
– Yeah, he had 42-7 instead with the Utah game. And, like, I know people were mad at him on Twitter because of, like, the leg and execution, but my thing was, like, who else had it going?
Nobody.
You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody – like, that. And those – there's a direct correlation to the game. It's like, how many shots did he have this game?
And while you look that up, Will, that was the same game. Jalen, he was pretty much off the entire game. Ime subbed him in, and Jalen was being timid, so Ime took him right back out. And then if you look at that final lineup, it's got to be the guy who's got 42 points.
Yeah, I mean, he took 30 shots this game, and I believe he didn't make a single shot.
He did.
I do know he got to the line, I think, like six times, I believe, in the fourth quarter. But, yeah, he didn't make a single field goal in the fourth. But the reason why I was, like, everybody was mad at him on Twitter, I'm like, but y'all mad at the wrong guy. For me, it's like, yeah, he wasn't effective, but who else did it? Who, like, if no one else is going to do it, Fred going to do it. So, yeah, that's just mine. This has come from somebody who, like, if you know me, I haven't been the biggest Fred VanVleet league guy this whole season. So, I give my Kobe pizza to Ime and to Fred. For the reasons that Brad and Jada already talked about for Ime. We can keep moving.
Yeah, and last thing on the right. Yeah, the Rockets were 38 and 35 with Fred this year in his game.
They were what?
38 and 35. So okay. When it, you know, again, the more they have him, you know, the better the team is. So yeah, that's just my add that.
Yeah. Okay, well, the next big award is Rookie of the Year, and this is probably gonna be an easy one. So I'll let Jada psych over.
Yeah, Doug.
All right. It's a little Jersey Bombi right there. my favorite Rocket player, the guy I was excited about coming to this season, it for sure was Amen Thompson. I think that as high as I was on him this year, I thought there might be a chance he struggles quite a bit in his first season, and he exceeded my expectations. I think that obviously went out early due to that bad ankle sprain, but when he came back, man, just so much that he added to the game. I think that he added some creativity when it came to passes. You know, one of the few knocks that we have with Fred, he's great, but he's a limited player, right? Amen kind of had the yang to his yin. I think that just the prowess on the rebounding, fierce rebounding, when nobody else would attack the boards, he was attacking those. The variety of moves going to the basket, the adding that teardrop, that little floater as the season went on, man, was a big step up. He did not shoot well from outside, but he also did not take a bunch of unnecessary shots. And the defense is just outstanding. He played most of the year at small forward rather than point guard, something I expect to flip the opposite way next year. But, man, he guarded guys all the way from the one, even to the five sometimes, and played them really, really well. There was a lot of times where I thought, man, this guy already might be one of the top 10 wing defenders in the league, seeing the way that he played, man. And just the competitive nature, the fierceness. I just loved it, man. I think everything that he did was just great. To me, it's funny looking back. I went to go look back at some different articles and stories early in the season where they were saying that we drafted the wrong twin and things of that nature, man. And, like, he was phenomenal. I think he was the at least the third best player out the rookie class. And I think that if he had a whole season, he could have did so much more. So, by far, he's my guy. You know, Cam was very hot for the period of time that he was hot. And, you know, he had flashes here and there. But that stability that Amen brought, especially being able to play a whole secondary position, man, was awesome. So this one to me isn't even an argument. It's Amen Thompson, who I think at some point will end up being the best Rocket on the team.
Yeah, knew that was going to be an easy one for Dub. Easy one for me as well. A shout out to Cam Whitmore. I'll say this about him. Really proud of what he was able to do this season for the team. You know, he started in the G League, came out and was just scoring at the gates. I want to say he had like an 8-game stretch where he scored like 15 straight points off the bench. And Kobe Bryant is the only other teenage rookie to accomplish something like that. So it just goes to show you that killer mentality that Cam has. He's always going to take those shots. Again, he does have to work on the shot selection, but it's the mentality to just, you know, just be a killer, be a scorer, attack everybody, and not be scared out there. It's going to take him a long way. Again, he's only going to be 20 come July. So shout out to him. But yeah, my award is going to Amen Thompson for sure. In my personal opinion, if he didn't miss the beginning of the season, he'd be a lock for the first team, all-rookie team. He should still be a first team all-rookie in my eyes. I know how the NBA works. He might not get it. He might not get second team. But he is by far one of the five best players in this rookie class, and that's without a doubt. Could go down as the second or third best rookie in this class. But, yeah, I mean, I'm the stat guy. I'll let Will give more analysis on Amen Thompson. But, yeah, just the stats I have in Amen's 23 games as a starter, averaging 13 points, 9.9 rebounds, 58% from the field. I want to say, and I'll double check, 1.5 steals, 3.7 assists. You know, those are stuff in the stat sheet numbers. Victor Wembanyama is the only other rookie starter to average more rebounds as a, you know, obviously as a starter. So, Amen Thompson, again, that's supposed to be your point guard. And he's on the glass. He's getting a lot of steals, a lot of blocks. Seems like every rebound, again, I'll throw in some percentiles amongst everyone at his position. If you want to go off of cleaning the glass, 100th percentile in defensive rebounding, 100th percentile in offensive rebounding. He was 95th percent in steal percentage, 93rd percent in block percentage. Like, what else do you want from the kid? Again, he's a rookie doing those things. So he's only going to get way better. And as Dub mentioned, he took a lot of great shots. Obviously, his weakness is, you know, ball handling, can't shoot to save his life. We need some resemblance of a midi eventually, but again, he's so effective as just a basketball player and his IQ is so good. He's still able to be effective even without a jump shot, which is hard to do in the NBA today. So yeah,
Brad, can you add in his free throw shooting, which was actually
I don't have it off the top of my head, but since the month of March, he was shooting upwards of 75%. Yeah, and Amen Thompson free throw shooting was impressive, and that's something that maybe is a sign of hope. You know, maybe the mini will come. But anytime he started to go to the line towards the end of the season, I'm like, yeah, he's knocking these down. Every time I look up, he's like 5 or 6, you know, 4 or 5 or something like that. So. Yeah. The kid has a ton of promise. And, you know, of course, as Dub mentioned, and I'm saying myself, and Will, I'm sure, will say the same thing. You know, Amen Thompson has got to be my rookie of the year. But, oh, I also wanted to say one more thing. Fun fact, he only played 5% this year of his minutes at the point guard position. 52% of those were at shooting guard, 42% were at small forward. So just a fun fact. I didn't see a lot of Amen Thompson point guard minutes this year. But maybe they'll try to push him into that Fred VanVleet role, maybe more next season than the year after.
To answer your question, Jada, so he shot 68% on the season, but his last 25 games, he shot 73.3%.
That's good.
Yeah, so towards the end of the season, it was no longer a guaranteed miss, and I actually had I had some kind of level of confidence he was going to make him. Like I said, the season kind of came to an end. But yeah, the easy answer with all. Respect to Cam Whitmore and what he's going to continue to do for this team. It's a man. That was like, I think me and Jada were kind of on the same page with Amen coming into the draft last year and how high I was on him and why I really wanted him. And like I said, I think I was someone who was like really, really high. I agree with Jada. I think he's going to be our best player in a couple of years. So as someone who was high on Amen, I think he was even better than what I anticipated him to be. This season, the first thing that immediately stuck out to me that I didn't anticipate him being this good at was rebounding. Like, I knew he was going to be someone who could crash the boards and walk away the rebounds. I didn't think he was going to be like the double-double machine that he was when he actually got missed. Because like Brad touched on, he did get hurt, and then he got like really, really sick early in the season. Like, he didn't really kind of get his footing underneath him until like January, February-ish. But it was like once he got his footing underneath him, the dude was – grabbing every rebound that came his way. And that was something that I thought he was gonna be good at, and he was gonna be like great at it already. He was immediately great at that. I think that the defense was a whole lot better than what I thought it was gonna be. I knew he'd be a good defender in his prime. I didn't think he'd be this good in year one. Like, I figured it would take us a couple years to get there, but no, I think Jada was spot on. I don't think it's hyperbole to say that he was one of the best defenders in the entire league this season. Like, I don't know if I could name you 15 guys, and that might even be a little bit, that might be too many. I don't know if I can name 15 guys who are better defensively on the perimeter than Amen. And then just also, we talk about versatility defensively. There was possessions this season where he was able to guard, and he didn't just guard like the corner sitters. Like, he was guarding the best players on opposing teams and giving them fits, right? Like, I've watched him all in the same game. He guarded Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, and then he blocked Bobo's shot. And, like, I don't know too many guys who have the defensive versatility to guard, a star wing, and then also block Bo's, 7-1, 7-2, something like that?
7-2. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? And he blocked it at the apex of his jump shot. So it wasn't like he blocked him, like, you know, going outside. Bobo went up for a shot, and the men went there and met him at the apex of his jumper. And so, like, there's not that many guys who are capable of doing that. I watched him guard SGA and Jalen Williams in the same game. He was the best defender we had on Luka I believe he got into foul trouble, and that's why we had to switch him off of Luka. But when he was on Luka, he was giving Luka fits, right? Luka didn't start going off until after Amen got out the game. And so it's like you factor in that he's also, like I said, I think he's one of the best defenders in the entire league. I think he's the best defender on our roster. He was able to find a way to score the basketball without touching it every possession. That was one of the critiques or question marks about Amen was, okay, if he can't hold the ball in his hands, can he impact the game, you know, from a scoring perspective? And he was able to. He was able to develop some really early chemistry with Alper and Shingun, like cutting to the basket. I think that's one thing that he's also like day one really good at. He knows when to cut. He knows how to cut into space properly and when to cut. He can also run the fast break really, really well. And so, yeah, like he was able to find that success there, cutting and, you know, in the dunker spot, finishing around the rim, getting put back, stuff like that. He was able to rack up a lot of easy points that way. And then, you know, we're gonna break down, areas of improvement for all these young guys, you know, in the next coming episodes. But he has two identifiable like weaknesses with the handle and the jumper. But the point I want to make is that he didn't have those things and he was still really, really good, really, really impactful off rips. Like I could argue that he was at worst the fourth best player in our team. Like I think that's where I'm at with the men right now. And this was just year one of him with, like I said, two very identifiable weaknesses. And so, yeah, I'm really excited to see what he does. It's going to be really difficult for me to not have him in the starting lineup next season. I don't know how that's going to work because there's a lot of guys, I guess you could say, deserve that spot. But, yeah, he was really good. And, like, I'm looking forward to seeing him develop not just as a wing but also as a – I actually want to highlight that too real quick, and I'll pass it off. That was something else that, like, he never played the wing before, right? He never played, you know, setting screens or rolling to the basket. That's something he talked about was, like, an adjustment period for him. And despite that, he was still able to succeed at it. So, yeah, rookie of the year easily goes to Amen Thompson for me. Like I said, I think we're really excited to see what we're going to do. What
he's going to do. This isn't hyperbole. Was he also our best defender at the rim this year? Like, really think about it.
Probably. Like, not probably. He was better than Barry at it.
He was.
It wasn't just weak side blocks. Like, I saw him actually get posted up and actually able to block shots. I think he was like, you know, when you talk about his defensive versatility, you talked about the wing and the perimeter. He was the best defender at the rim. And if you really think about it, like, who else is even really that close? So, yeah, I think he can play defense everywhere.
Yeah, I think he can. And, you know, there's not that many guys who have that level of defensive versatility. Like, I want to draw that home. But anyways, that's going to lead into the next one, and I think it's probably going to be the quickest one we have next. The next one was Defensive Player of the Year. Yeah. I'll go quickly. I think it's a man. I think we just highlighted why we think it's a man. Because I don't think there's anybody on this team who was as versatile defensively and as consistent defensively. Like, there was never a game where I was like, men's getting baked out there, right? Like, I never really had that thought. For as good as Dylan was defensively for us, like, I think he would be the closest thing I would have to, like, someone who would challenge a man for that award. Mm-hmm. There were possessions, especially down the stretch, where I'm like, yeah, Dylan's getting cooked. Like, and he's getting cooked by – he's not getting cooked by Luka and Kyrie. I saw him get cooked by, like, Josh Giddey a couple of times. I saw him get cooked by Dante Exum. So, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was getting baked down the stretch of the season. I didn't really feel that way with the men. I didn't – like, I didn't see anybody else, like Jada said, you know, the rim protection, the weak side rim protection, the on-ball POA defense – getting in the gap, getting deflections. Like, it was just – he did the whole thing. Like, I know Ime Udoka just loves coaching a player like that defensively. And so, yeah, that's my long answer short. It's a man. I'll let Jacob go.
It's definitely a man.
Go ahead, Jeff.
I think that when Tari played, he could challenge for that spot. I thought he was really, really good on defense when he came in the game. I think Dylan was really good, like, the first handful of games. And I also think that, like, down the stretch, you start seeing Jock come alive a little bit. But it's time in. From the moment we put him in there, he was able to hold his own. He wanted to play against the better player on the other team. I think the only knock you could ever have on him defensively is early in the season. I'm talking, like, his first 10 games. He might not really understand the switches on the screens, but also, let's be clear, he was switching on screens with Jeff Green, which, you know, but he did really good there. And I think he got lost a couple of possessions, like, in his first five or six games. Why am I pointing this out? Because that's all I could think of. Everything else, he was an outstanding defender. And this was, like, just understanding the nuance of the game. Like, I think people have to realize this is the worst he'll ever be on defense, which is insane to say, right? So, he's definitely that guy. I think once you get to next year, when you can actually have him in there with lineups with Tari, which will be outstanding, whoever you have as the big, whether it be Steven Adams or guy who you draft, some continued progression from Jabari. Man, the defensive potential on this team is going to be really, really good, right? You know, we were top five for most of the season in defensive rating. Obviously, that dropped towards the end of the year, but, like, I think he's going to help us sustain that, man. And just the versatility that you can have with him also gives us more optionality when it comes to who we draft, who we bring in a free agency, because he can guard guys besides his own natural position. So it's definitely him, man. Just highly impressed with a guy that young, that fresh, and, you know, who didn't play in a high-level league, right? He played in the OTE, respectfully. You know, he didn't really play, like, in top-tier college or whatever. Just to come in against grown men and just instantly play defense that well, it's definitely him, and once again, kind of not that close.
Yeah, I was gonna say a stat in the last segment, but I'll say it in this one. Amen Thompson in his 40, again, when he was on the court, 42% of his minutes were at small forward position. The Rockets were 93rd percentile in those minutes. Large part due to him clamping up. But again, there's a whole bunch of film out there on Amen Thompson locking up. KD, SGA, Devin Booker, Bol Bol. Again, the kid's versatility is insane. He can guard dead 1 through 5 as a rookie. His athleticism is off the charts. He's had games with 3 blocks and 3 steals. It's not just the, you know, just the stocks. He's also clamping. You can't get by him. He's staying in front of everybody. He had his lapses, sure, yeah. But his talent as a defensive rookie is off the charts. One of the best defensive rookies I've ever seen in my entire life. Would easily be the best one any other year. There wasn't an alien that spawned into the league. So, yeah, that's how good he was this year. He's easily the all-defensive team player of the year. I'll give a shout-out to Tari Eason. He would have gave him a run for his money if he stayed the entire season. He's another guy who is, you know, top percentile in block percentage, steal percentage. He's also just everywhere on the court, can stay in front of just about anybody he guards. So it's going to be fun to watch those two on the team next season. But, yeah, this is only a conversation if Tari doesn't get hurt. And since he got hurt, around 20-ish games in, it's Amen Thompson. But I got to give my shout-out to Tari because he's the only person that was going to give Amen a run for his money.
The next award is another one that's a little funny because it could go to Amen as well. Sixth Man of the Year. And the reason why I struggle to – Amen played the majority of his games off the bench this year. Matter of fact, let me look it up real quick just so I don't misspeak. Amen played 62 games and he only started 23 of them. So like two-thirds of his season was off the bench. So he might qualify, but I don't know. Maybe y'all want to give it to Cam. Maybe I want to give it to somebody else. So Jade, if I let you, you got the difficult task leading this one off.
You know what? I'm going to go last on this one.
Oh, that's fair.
All right. Let Brad go first on this
one.
I'll give a different answer. Maybe not the best performing guy off the bench, but I got to give props to the 37-year-old who wasn't supposed to.
Oh, you took my answer.
You should have kept it. Well, I'll say this, man. Yeah, Jeff Green was not supposed to play big minutes on this team. If you sized up the 9 players at the start of the roster, at the start of the season, Jeff might not, probably not even in the 9-man rotation. But since he was, again, he played 77 games. That's the most for a 37-year-old since.
They have him at 78 on Stat News.
78, even crazier. So most since actually, I have to relook up the stat. But if it was 77, it'd be the most since Jamal Crawford, Dirk Nowitzki, and Pau Gasol. So it's hard for an old guy to play that many minutes. And he was solid for the most part. He had his slumps from 3. But, again, like the veteran leadership, just being out there, being available, helping his team get to 41-41. I got to give Uncle Jeff his props, man. So I'll give him bench player of the year. Even though, again, if I was realistically going talent-wise off of this, I'd probably go with Amen. But, yeah. You want to go, Will?
Yeah, I'll go quick. The answer is Amen for me. But I do want to show some love to Jeff Green. We talked enough about Amen. I'll show some love to Jeff Green. I think, like Brad said, excuse me, he was someone who I don't think anybody had on their bingo card playing as many minutes and as many games as he did, and he did it. And I mean, he wasn't perfect at it. I want to make that clear, but he was really, really solid. He's somebody who I would kind of prefer, if possible, that we keep him, you know, just if nothing else, just for his leadership and what he means to this team in the locker room. Like, I think he's a lot better and has more to give to the game. But if worst case scenario, he's just this year's Boban in terms of like the 15 man on the roster, I would be really happy with that. I want to show some love also to, and this is going to strike Jade up, I'm going to show some love to Aaron Holiday. I don't, you know, people like that's another guy who I was really critical of, but as well with him, I think he, I don't think anybody, I think people had Jeff Green. There's probably some people out there who thought Jeff Green would play, just like to start the season. I don't think anybody had Aaron Holiday playing any serious minutes this season. Like, I did not think that he was going to play at all. And he not only played, but he was the default backup guard for the entire season for the most part. And, you know, he has his shortcomings. I think that there are some areas where he can improve, particularly as, like, a decision maker and as an on-ball guard, if that's the role he wants to take. But I think that in those games where he's more of the off-ball guard, I think he was really good at that for us. And just like I said, just relative to what you could expect from someone like that, I think he's like on a vet minimum deal for the most part. I wouldn't mind seeing him come back as like a third string guard, as someone who kind of steps up if someone gets hurt. I don't want to see him get like, I want to say he probably did was the like sixth man in terms of like minutes played off the bench. I don't want to see that next season. But he likes it. If he's someone who like, knock on wood, someone gets hurt, I would be perfectly fine with him kind of sliding in as that backup guard. I think he's capable at being that. So, but yeah, the answer is a man for me, but yeah, I'll let Jado go.
So I'm going with Jeff Green. My reasoning has to do with not just what you see on stats, right? So the Rockets started off pretty hot after their first couple of losses. A lot of that had to do with, in my opinion, the stability that he brought. The starting lineup went from really good, in my opinion, to really bad, then to good again. And I think that when the bench unit came in, he was like the stabilizing force, that veteran presence, that leadership. There were times where the young guys were lost, couldn't figure out what to do. And there was a couple of times where they actually played a lineup where Jeff Green was not in there, and those lineups were terrible, right? Even with the young rookies. When Jeff came in with those lineups, they just seemed to do a lot better, right? Aaron Holiday obviously will get, you know, very shot happy at times. Cam will kind of get deer in headlights. And now, I mean, on the offense, sometimes we get a little deer in headlights. He just seems to be the stabilizing force. I think he made some really big shots. He had some really great defensive plays. Obviously, we know what the issues are, right? The screens on both sides of the court, right? Lazy screens on offense and struggling to figure out, you know, when to switch and when not to switch on defense. But I really think that, like, he's the reason that we even had a good record at the beginning of the season. And even when he did not, like, shoot well, I think he just brought some stability to this team. There was a lot of communication that he had. And again, for guy 37 to play like this, man, like, it's just kind of insane, right? You know, Kale couldn't make it past one game, right? And he went out there. He's making there were several times where I was watching Jeff Green and thinking, like, who just dunked? Like, there's no way that's Jeff Green, right? So, you know, very impressed with what he did. Again, sometimes it's not just about the performance or the potential. I just kind of think that he just brought a stabilizing presence to a unit that was kind of up and down, right? Aaron Holiday was great at first, right? They kind of tailed off and got a little bit better at the end. Jock Landale was nothing at first, right? And then boomed at the end. Who was the consistent force during that time through all the injuries and everything else? It was Jeff Green. So to me, I'm going to give respect where it's due. And yeah, I'm going to give him my sixth man of the year.
It was valid. Okay, do y'all, excuse me, the next award is most improved. That is the second to last award we're going to do. And yeah, I won't put any criteria on this one. Y'all can just give me anybody, I think. I'll let Brad go first this time for the most improved award.
It's a good one. Let's go to Dub. I want to look at some stats for this one. Go ahead, Dub.
Most improved for the Rockets. So if we're speaking from last season to this season, obviously that's going to limit the amount of people that we have there. I'm probably going to go with Şengün. And I know that sounds crazy to say because he actually played really well last year. I think that as well as he played with no structure last year, he still found a way to take it to another level, right? The facilitation, the IQ of knowing where to actually play. There were so many games, and I know we might be far removed from it, where like he was the only reason winning. Like the only reason, and for a guy that young to be carrying the team, I also think during those periods of time we saw improvements on defense, right? And for a guy who last year I feel like had a little bit of some mental fragility, maybe emotional fragility when he was not playing well, he played well this time, right? We even had that small period of time where he was not playing well after he had that really hard All-Star push, and he didn't let him get it down, right? He just kept on fighting, he kept on playing. The passing, insane. The rebounding, attacking the rebounds while still trying to get his offensive game going was insane. And the way he was just going at, like, the people who should not be peers with him, right? The way he was just destroying Jokic early in the season, right? Just going at Sabonis and things of that nature. Like, I saw him have some good flashes last year. I didn't see that kind of dominance. And for a team that is not normally talking to in a positive light by a lot of those who in the national media, he played so well that you had to give him his props. So, again, we have a limited pool, right? It wasn't Jalen for me. Tari didn't get to play enough. Jabari, I think, actually was okay. But I think just being the fulcrum of a team, a rebuilding team with a new coach, new style, new players, and just putting a team on your back, man, it's Şengün for me. And I'm not sure what the stats say, but just watching the game, like, he just went to a whole nother level. So, it's Şengün.
Yeah, and you know I got you on a stat. So going from last year to this year, and Sengun, again, I had to think about it real quick. And I'll touch on why I almost put Jabari. But yeah, Sengun from last season to this year, you know, 14.8 points to 21.1, 9 rebounds to 9.3, 3.9 assists to 5 assists. And again, when he was out there on the court and the Rockets jumped out to that hot start, it was Alperen Sengun. He was cooking. He came back this season with a new bag. He was hitting the one-legged fadeaway, the little flamingo shot. He was hitting it at one point of the season at over 45%. I'd have to look at what he finished the year at. But yeah, he came back with a new jump shot, and he was practicing his jump shot the entire offseason. He came on this podcast and said he was working with his suburban coach on shooting, and the mid-range was here. He took probably quadruple the amount of attempts he's taken in his career from mid-range just this past season alone. So I like that he was able to grow his game just in his third NBA season. That's why I was so happy that he avoided major injury when he got hurt against Sacramento, because having that offseason is going to be big, and hopefully he can come back with something new this upcoming game. But yeah, I got to give it to Sengun, man. Just the things he did. He had the best game by far against my defensive player of the year, which would be Wimby. Sengun gave him like 28 points. He gave him 28, a real 28. He was cooking him. He was saucing him. Nobody else has scored that many points on Wimby. You can look at Embiid's 70-point game. They weren't really on Wimby. But, yeah, Sengun really cooked Wimby. Like, he did it to Wimby, a whole bunch of different centers. Became the youngest center to have 14-plus assists in a game. Like, there's a whole bunch of stuff he did. Youngest center to average 25-5, and 50% from the field. Youngest to have 45-15-5 steals in a game. Like, I could go on and on with what that man did this season. So he's my most improved player. Again, he stepped up to the plate big time. Still has to work on, navigating through double teams. You know, since he's as good as he is already, he's going to see a lot more of attention. So working around the double teams and things of that nature. Obviously, the jump shot needs to improve. Coach Udoka said that. But again, just the improvements from last year to this year, I think it really helped this Rockets team. But last thing I'll say is Jabari, I almost put him because his rookie year, you can look at his efficiency, it was not good. And he really upped everything from field goal percentage, true shooting percentage, three-point percentage. He was playing stronger, in my opinion. He could play even stronger in years to come. I thought he was more active on the boards. He could still be way more active on the boards, in my opinion. So I almost put Bar just because his rookie season wasn't the best, and I really liked what I saw from him improvement-wise, at least this past season. Again, these young guys, they got so much room for improvement, so it's going to be fun to watch. This answer might be
the dribbling, too. His dribbling
needs to improve as well. I will say it did even improve slightly this year, but yeah, again, gotta go with Sengun.
I'm gonna start by saying I don't think that there's an incorrect answer to this question. I think that Jabari and Sengun deserve love here, but I'm going to go the non-conventional route. I'm gonna say Jalen Green, and I'm gonna tell y'all why. I want to start by saying that everybody's gonna be mad at me. I don't think that Jalen's a better basketball player than Alperen Sengun. I think Sengun's the better player. I don't think it's particularly close right now. And the reason that I don't have Sengun for the award, it's two things. One, I think that Alperen Sengun did get better this year. I don't want to make it seem like I don't think he improved. He did. He improved a lot of things. Like his in-between game, something that we can identifiably see. He added something to it. The Dirk fadeaway was something he added this summer. And it was really good for the team when he was using, excuse me. So I don't want to make it seem like Sengun didn't improve. He did. But a lot of what Sengun did, I really feel like he could have done last year if given the opportunity and like the facilities around him to do it, right? Because last year we saw with Steven Silas, Sengun didn't have the longest leash in the world. And when he was on the court, the offense did not flow through him. The previous point guard wasn't able to get him the ball at the pick and roll as consistently as a Fred VanVleet can. And so I think those are like, you know, when you're getting benched every 10 seconds because whatever reason, and then, you know, you don't have the team around you to kind of get you the ball in your spots and you kind of make something happen. I think that's kind of what limited him a lot versus this year. He did have a coach who empowered him, and he had a point guard who was able to get him the ball consistently. So I think that if Sengun had those things last year, I think that he does. I'm not gonna say he's gonna be as good as he was this year, but I think he would have been a whole lot better last year than he was. So I think the difference between Sengun this year and last year, you know, with respect to the improvements that he made, I think a lot of it was opportunity. I think that Jalen Green was downright bad last year at times. And I know that for a lot of the season, Jalen Green was also downright bad this year. But what I want to highlight is with Jalen, the improvements that he made this year weren't opportunity. It was things that he literally could not do last year. He literally could not, like the passes he was throwing, right, from a playmaking perspective. I saw him throw skip passes. I saw him make reads out of drives. The, you know, he has a very one-dimensional read, but he can hit that little dump down pass to the rolling big out the pick and roll. It's the only read he can make, and it's very predictable when he's going to do it. But he can do it, and he is it pretty consistently, right? Those are all passes and things that he literally could not do or with any type of consistency last season. Not at all, right? He did that consistently this year. I think his defense was much improved. You could also, you know, you could argue that his defense only improved because this year he was trying and last year he wasn't, but his defense was much better. Like, I have a hot take. I don't think that, especially towards the end of the season, I don't think that Jalen Green was the worst offender starting five. As a matter of fact, I don't think he was the second worst offender either by the end of the season. I think that Jalen Green's defense, you got to factor in, I guess, matchup difficulty. He wasn't guarding, the best opposing players. But even when he was, like, for the possession where he was switched on to, like, a Kyrie, I didn't feel like he played bad defense. I thought that, for the most part, he was giving good contests. He was staying attached to his man. He still had some work to do off ball and not getting, like, lost that way. But, like, when he's engaged, I didn't feel like he was just fooled. And that was, like, last season he was fooled. Jalen was guarding, he was a bucket. So I think he improved a lot there. I think we started seeing him use his athleticism to grab rebounds this season. And that's something that I think, like, once again, he just did not do last year. He was not grabbing the rebounds that he was grabbing this year. I'd argue that for his position, he's probably a plus rebounder now. And like I said, that's something he didn't do last year. And then his finishing around the rim. I know that was an area where he kind of struggled at last season. He wasn't the best at finishing around or through contact. And that's what he struggled with at the start of the season. But as the season progressed, we started seeing his finishing actually jump. Like, he started finishing around the rim a whole lot better. He was better at embracing contact. And as a matter of fact, I think that his numbers, as good as they are, I think they would look even better if he got a fair whistle. I think a lot of times he was getting hacked at the rim, and that just results in a missed field goal. But, like, I think that those are, like, possessions where he should have got free throws out of them. In a season totality, Jalen Green was bad for, like, 70 to 80% of the season. But when you look at, like, the game itself and who improved, right, Ime Udoka had to break Jalen Green's game down to, like, the most bare and build it back up. And towards the end of the season, he did that, right? Now, he did kind of struggle towards the end, at the very, very end. But he did kind of get back up there. And we're going to talk about, like, another episode. We talk about the improvement he needs to make. I think that the only thing right now that's holding Jalen Green back is the fact that his jumper is really streaky. That's the only thing. I think that, like, Brad, didn't you say you were in the playback one day? I think you looked up what he would be averaging if he had a league average jumper. And I want to say it was literally
his true shooting percentage would have been around 57.3. That's across our course of the season. You know, towards the end of the year, he was way better at the rim. So it would be even better than that.
Yeah, so bottom line is, it's 57 true shooting if he's just a league average shooter. I don't think no one's looking at this season and saying he was, like, I think that's what held him back a lot, because even when he was putting up tour dates from a shooting perspective, I was saying the whole season that his defense improved, his rebounding improved, his playmaking improved, his finishing improved. He just couldn't shoot. That was the biggest thing. I think that when you look at who improved the most at areas, I think it was Jalen. But if you want to say Şengün, because Şengün did take a leap this year, and he was the best player, I'm fine with it. But yeah, I'm gonna take the end of that answer. I'm gonna say Jalen.
I'll say one thing about Jalen. I like that answer, Will. You know, switch it up a little bit, and it's not a bad answer at all. Jalen did improve a lot. I'm just gonna give a stat defensively. You know, defending ISOs, I want to say Kelly Eco put it out there. Last year he was giving up around 1.05 points per possession in ISOs, and this year it was only 0.87, which is like upper 75th percentile. So yeah, shout out to Jalen. You know, improving all around. It does hurt you as a scorer when you start actually trying in other areas of the game. So yeah, I think as a whole, he's a way more good basketball
player. And I do want to say, like, I'll say it real quick, and I'll let you go, Jada. The rebound things, I should have looked it up before I started going, but I looked it up. His rookie season, he grabbed 226 rebounds. His sophomore season, he grabbed 284. Like I said, I think this is the season where I saw him make an effort to crash the boards. He grabbed 422 this year. So almost double his rookie season amount.
And one more thing before I let Dub go, shout out to him for playing the full 82. That's also very hard to do. Another reason, you know, those rebounding numbers aren't just because Jalen played the full 82. If Will had said the points or the rebounds,
the averages is better. He averaged 5 this season compared to 3.4 and 3.7 the seasons prior.
Last thing I got. He led the NBA in points per game for all guys who played 82 games this year, 17 of them. So, again, shout out to Jalen just for playing the full 82. Yeah. Go ahead, Doug.
That's actually what I was going to touch on, right? So in the spirit of keeping it real, if I was listening or watching this podcast like I do when y'all drop it, hearing Jalen Green stated would definitely make me go, huh? Because let's be honest, he was brutal for a lot of the season, right? But I'm not bringing that up to talk about how bad he was. I'm bringing it up because I do kind of want to give him some props. I think a lot of times when you're slumping a lot as an offensive player, especially if the shot's not falling, right? He was shooting 40% and then 30% from three for a long time. A lot of those guys get a reset, right? It could be missing games for this or that. He played every game, right? So, like, he had to get that correction and figure it out on the fly with different supporting cast, right? And with the coach who was holding him accountable, right? You know, he could have checked out. You know, we have a couple of our close friends in this community who felt like, you know, as soon as he started getting benched, it was going to be it for him psychologically, right? And obviously, you know, he had his own personal things he was going through too. Watching him break out of that and bounce back to me, I cannot go without, you know, giving him the props for that, right? If you're going to give him the criticism, give him the flowers when he actually played well. I think that my biggest gripe early in the season is that I was not satisfied with the defense. I think there were times where he seemed to kind of get flustered, would not fight around screens. But as the season went on, even when he was slumping, he started turning the corner to say, how can I contribute even if my shot isn't falling? And his avenue for doing that was crashing the boards, right? We saw him aggressively go to that just like to find, and that's maturation. I'm going to do something to help my team produce, even if I'm not playing well. Right. Of course, I don't have an issue with the emotion when he was getting benched because that's what players with confidence do. Right. It's a struggle. But he bounced back. He really turned it around. He stayed there. And although he didn't have like a very hot end to the season, man, during that streak when Shingun went down, Jalen was the reason we were winning those games. Right. Jalen was the reason we were winning those games. And that was pretty important, man. So I was very excited for that, man. It was frustrating for me. So I had to be frustrating for him. But he really bounced back, man, in all aspects. He started taking a challenge to go to the left when he was avoiding it at first, right? At the rim, finishing just got better, right? The confidence in the shots, the shooting form became a lot more consistent, man. So, like, I do want to give him his props. There's no way I would give him most improved. But I do think that, like, I'm not sure what award would fit for Jalen, but I do want to say that I am proud of how he turned it around. And the next step is just trying to find some consistency so we don't have – the slow start that then has to build to a hot finish. But I'm very proud at how he turned it around on the fly while playing every single game, starting every game, if I'm correct. Right, Brad? Like that's not easy to do.
The basis of my argument was just that when you look at who improved at the – like who took the largest improvement, I think it was Jalen. I think that there was no one who from point A to point B improved the most – at like the quantifiable aspects of the game than Jalen. Like I said, with all due respect to what Shingun did, I think he got better. But like I said, I think a lot of the reason why his points per game went up, his rebounds per game went up, his, you know, all those numbers went up, I think it's because he was finally in a position where he could actually do those things.
Yeah.
Versus, like I said, Jalen, he was in a position. He just couldn't do them. He just looked like literally, like I just pointed out like four things that Jalen Green could not do last year that he could do this year. And so that was the root of my argument. But if you want to argue Shingun, like, I'm not gonna push back. I think it's a very fair like take as well. And I think Brad touched on it. I think Jabari also deserves a lot of love for some of the reasons to what I listed for Jalen. I think that Jabari also improved tremendously from point A to point B. I will give him that. And the last word I got is another quick one. The most underrated. This is the only word that's not like an official award I want to give. Most underrated. No criteria. If y'all need some time, if not,
go ahead, Will. You suck.
Um, Most underrated. I didn't have my own preparation for this answer. Because yeah, there's a lot of guys who I think could get some love here, but I don't want to just be obvious with it. Cause like I could say a man here, but I don't want to do that. Most underrated.
I'll say this real quick.
I know my answer now, but I'll let you go.
I'll say this. If it was earlier in the year, my easy answer would have been Dylan Brooks because he had like the worst perception in the league. And he was coming out shooting on all cylinders, playing amazing defense. And then he had that oblique injury and it really stalled his season. He started, you know, regressing, taking poor shots. 3-point percentage went down. Defense got a little worse. So that would have been my easy answer. It would have been Dylan Brooks just because the entire league hates him. And they just thought he was terrible. And that was not the case at the beginning of the year. But as a whole, most underrated, I'll go Aaron Holiday. I'll go Aaron Holiday. Again, he played a ton of minutes this year, and he was far from ineffective, I would say. I think at times he played out of role, I think was the only issue he necessarily had. He had to use the, you know, be the on-ball handler way too much. You know, Amin couldn't necessarily do it at times. But in his minutes, again, really good shooter, probably. I'd have to look at it, but it wouldn't surprise me if he was the best three-point shooter on the team this past year if you look at percentages. Stepped up huge there. Had a poor March, but outside of that, I think it would be Aaron Holiday. Played really good defense. Udoka trusted him a lot of the season. Played upwards of probably 75 games, if I'm not mistaken. Does that sound about right, guys, if y'all are looking?
I think he played 78. I'll look at it one more time real quick.
Yeah, just again, you look at Aaron Holiday, you think, oh, yeah.
72.
72.
Oh, you said Aaron Holiday. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, he played 78. He played 78.
Even crazier. Like, again, Will mentioned it earlier in the segment. Who thought he was playing 78 minutes? Again, we all think of him as an end of the bench guy. He came in on a team who desperately needed shooting. The Rockets were dead last in 3-point shooting. The past 3 years, Aaron Holiday came in, started sniping, you know, for the most part. So I want to give him his flowers. Definitely an underrated guy. I definitely watched from another team and be like, damn, like, why is he, look, he cooking right now. But yeah, I would go ahead.
He just before I give pass off to Dub, he shot 38.7% from three this season, which ties Fred's mark.
Nice.
And that was on three attempts a game, but also he's only playing 16 minutes a night. Yes, the only guys ahead of him and Fred are Nate Williams, Reggie Bullock, and Nate Hinson, who did not really play.
What did Reggie finish at?
Reggie shot 40% on 1.5 attempts, but he only played 9.5 minutes.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't really.
Off topic, I was curious. But yeah, go ahead, Doug.
I'm going to cheat. Go ahead. I have a tie. The first one I'm going to go with is Tari Eason.
You stole my answer.
Tari Eason went out, and let's be honest, the team looked completely different.
Yeah.
Right? The defense was not as elite on the team. The rebounding started to like be inconsistent, right? And the bench unit just didn't look quite the same. I think Tari Eason going out, you really saw the value. And let's be clear, I think we all rated Tari Eason pretty well. But there were periods of time, you may not be the best player, but you can have like the best or second best impact, right? When he went out, man, it was just a different team. I think that we all kind of found a way to cope with the trade deadline, not getting any immediate help, by saying that Tari Eason coming back is better than anything we could have gotten. And of course, he didn't come back. I think that he's been out so long that when he comes back, you're almost going to remember it to a higher level how good he was and what he could bring to the team. I think that when he's on the court, it seems like everybody else who's playing defense plays better, right? It seems like the matchups are better. It seems like the lack of having true centers, right, or true traditional centers does not really hurt as bad because there's so much stuff that he can do. The switching on the perimeter, really good, right? Guys were pretty much just shooting threes at will on us at one point. Watari didn't happen. He's blocking threes, right? And finding a way to like help out and get back on this man. So I definitely think it's Tari. But I'm also gonna tie it with Dylan Brooks, and let me explain why. I'll never forget the angst that happened when we signed Dylan Brooks about what he was gonna come in and do. He's gonna think he's him and take a gazillion shots. He didn't come here to actually play a role, and he's gonna obstruct a hierarchy. He did not. He, for the most of the season, and Brad probably has it, Will might look it up, shot around 11 shots a game, right? And to me, that's even more significant because a lot of those shots that he only shot because there was nobody else to shoot them, right? Nobody else would step up or guys were being passive. So, like, he came here and actually played a role. And he played a role even when we had guys who were out, right? Some of the shots that may have upset you were more so because, like, all right, who else is going to shoot those shots? His defense was really, really good at the beginning. To me, again, if y'all know me, I don't like when guys blame stuff on injury. I do think that after that core injury, he just wasn't quite the same, right? And to me, it's such a huge contrast. So, man, the three-point shooting when he was cooking was really good. I think that just getting guys in position early in the season was just really good. And I tend to believe that he's going to look a little bit closer to the beginning of the season, Dylan, than he did for the post-injury Dylan, right? He may not be as hot, right? At one point, he was the hottest three-point shooter in the league, right? But I think that really matters. And I also think, man, just having a guy who's making as much money as he is, who could come here and try to demand as much shine, he came here and he accepted a role. He didn't try to outshine the team. He went in there and just kind of played his position. I think that we really underrate that. And the selflessness that I feel like he took, that just mattered to me, right? There was a lot of times where during stretches, he was the best facilitator on the team. And I know that sounds crazy, but he was getting guys passes. There were a lot of fast breaks where he could have just went and tried to take the shot, but he would do a dump off to Amen or a dump off to Jabari, a dump off to Tari when he was there. And to me, those things really matter. And I think that he helped bring a culture. As you saw the team go on, right, we know that he helped bring that culture to Memphis. This team became really tough as the year went on, right? I don't know how many texts and how many fights we got into, but, like, this team started standing up for themselves. They wasn't taking any crap. There was a time, and I still get mad when I think about this. If I'm correct, that was the Rosen who bulldozed Jalen Green, right?
It was.
Yeah. Just watching that man step up. He didn't even see the foul. But come in and step up. I think that sets a culture that I don't care how young we are. I don't care what our record was last year, right? What I'm going to do is I'm going to take that culture that Ime wants. I'm going to bring it to the court, and I don't care. We are a team that can sit here and compete, and we did. Finishing 41 and 41 with all the injuries we had, being so young and not being coached before this year really matters. And I kind of think that in some aspects, he brought as much to the actual court that Fred did, right? And so to me, I think he's really underrated. It does not mean it wasn't frustrating at times, right? But yeah, there was a great chance that we probably looked at that contract and was like, oh, this is a bad contract. I have not looked at that contract and thought that was a bad contract at all. Right. So I think it's a tie between those two guys. I feel like I'm robbing one to give it to the other. So I'm just going to tie it up and cheat. But go ahead, Will.
That was going to be like verbatim what I was going to say, Tari Eason. And then I was going to be like, but because Tari was out, I'm going to give it to Dylan. So, yeah, that was like verbatim what I was going to say. Yeah. I'll bring up this. The Rockets were 12-10 when Tari Eason played. Mm-hmm. And I remember he didn't start the season. I believe he was he missed what was it, 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks at the start of the season. And then he came back, I believe, in like, let's see, when was his first game? His first game was in November against the Lakers, two of all teams. And we beat the crap out of this team. Hold on, let me see what. You know what's crazy? I looked this up the last time we was in playback. We blew out the Lakers twice this year, like blew them out very quickly. Yeah. Yeah, but anyways, so he came back that day. But yeah, when we were 12-10 when he played, and like Jada touched on, I think that his impact, you could clearly like you know, there's not like a stat that like measures impact, because if you look at like his per game stats, he's not even really averaging nothing crazy. It's pretty much 10.7 rebounds, which I guess when you factor in how many minutes he's playing, I guess that is pretty crazy. But it was on about, if you round up, 53 shooting, about 1.4 steals and 0.9 blocks. So like I said, nothing like super duper crazy, but like in terms of if you're like watching the game, I could tell that like the energy was different when he was on the court. He made us a better team. And so like I could argue straight up, he was the most impactful player on the team. I think you could argue that in his short time. He was the most impactful player on the court. And so yeah, like losing him, I think was huge. That was one of the main reasons why we did not I think we would have won way more games if Tari Eason was healthy, because I think he would have been able to. He's versatile, so he's someone I think who could have came in and took over in those minutes where, like, a Jabari is struggling, or, like, if Jalen's struggling, you could slide DB at the two and play Tari at the three. I think he kind of could come in and kind of help in those areas. Where, you know, like when we had those depth issues when injuries started taking over, I think he would set up there. But Dylan, like I said, I'll give Dylan the other side of it just because that was somebody who I was very like vocally against. I did not want Dylan Brooks at any, like he could have signed for the vet minimum and I would have been like, I don't want him. And then I was also someone who thought like, man, we just overpaid for Dylan Brooks too. But like J-Dub said, I watched the season. I didn't feel that way. Now he did in the latter half of the season. It was rough. It was really, really rough. His defense fell off the face of the earth. He wasn't shooting as well. We saw some of like the bad habits and the poor shot selection kind of return toward down the stretch. But I agree with Jacob. I think some of that has to do with the fact that I don't think he was just simply the same player post injury. And then to quantify that, from October to February, he was averaging 14 points per game. I'm gonna round up here. 14 points per game, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal. He shot 39% from 3 on 5 attempts. He had a 58.2 true shooting. And this is also with him, at this point in time, his defense was legit. Like, he was one of the better, if not the best, the second best defender on the team at this point in time. So, I'd say that Dylan Brooks surprised a lot of people. I do expect him to be a whole lot better next season, but hopefully he's coming into it healthy and not, I think it was with the oblique injury. That's what he had that kind of really threw him in for a loop. I want to repeat too many of the points that J-Dub said. Like, I think he kind of nailed it. Those are the words I got. Anybody want anything else before we kind of start wrapping it up?
I'll say this. I think those were the right answers. Sorry, I'll give my answers. People don't realize how impactful Taliesin is. I'd actually switch my answer to Tari. But people don't realize how good he is, so I can't wait for next season. Yeah, that's all I'll say.
That's it for me then. J-Dub, we want to thank you again for coming on the show. This is like the third time. We appreciate you and your time for coming out to talk with us. Brad, I think that's it for us. It's not really a plug anymore, really. The season's over, but I would say tap in. We will be in the Houston Live Room occasionally throughout the on playback, occasionally throughout the playoffs this year. I'll for sure be in there watching. Hopefully James Harden get a ring this year, which maybe may or may not be happening. But
I'll say this to close. I mean, yeah, it's off season now. Will and I, been cooking up. So we got some draft people coming in. Be doing not even season awards. We just did season awards. But we'll do some player reviews coming up as well, all in preparation, for the draft coming up. So we got some exciting episodes lined up, hopefully some good interviews. So y'all still with us an hour into the show. We appreciate you, and we got some fun content coming for you guys. But, yeah, that's all we got. And, Dub, again, appreciate you coming on, bro. Always a fun time. We'll get you on again in the future. But, yeah, appreciate you.
For sure. Thank y'all for inviting me. Sorry we didn't get to mention Cam Whitmore and Jock Landale too much in these categories, but very proud of y'all too, man.
Jock Landale stood out, man. I want to shout him out. Jock Landale stood out at the very, very end. He did stand out.
If there was a most improved throughout the season, it might go to Jock.
It might. Yeah. All right, man. We took too much of your time already. We'll see you guys next time. I think we'll be doing player reviews the next time y'all hear from us. So,
yes, sir.